This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. With a little bit of breaking news here. You know, not earth-shattering, but yeah. In the NBA, it's pretty big. Shams Charania reporting that the Chicago Bulls are finalizing the hire of Portland Trailblazers interim head coach Tiago Splitter as the franchise's new head coach. Sources telling ESPN, Splitter succeeds Billy Donovan as the Bulls coach after stepping into the head job and excelling in Portland last season. And it's that last phrase that I would like to ask you about, Mr. Bidlin, which is, Portland didn't want to hire Tiago Splitter as their head coach?
I mean, Gil, it's been kind of a story all season here towards the end of the regular season, into the playoffs. Tom Dundon, right, I believe is how you say his name, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, taking over majority control of the Blazers and coming in with a very, I don't know what the right word is, financially conservative approach.
Okay.
AKA cheap, because there was a lot of ugly reports coming out of this organization. And there were reports that this was being discussed about an extension for Tiago Splitter, because what more else could you ask this guy to do this year? Lead this team to the playoffs after having to deal with all of the Chauncey Billups fallout from the beginning of the season. It's pretty wild story. Just for what the Blazers did, and then hey, Bulls, it's kind of interesting what's going on there. And I don't know how Splitter was viewed by the rest of the NBA, but obviously with enough respect from some other teams to be given a shot here, Bulls give him a shot. We'll see. I'm actually more interested in the Portland side though here. What does that mean for them? What have they been thinking about and planning on going forward?
Yeah. 42-39 regular season record. Does that sound right for Tiago Splitter? As the coach of the Portland Trailblazers, obviously crapped out in the playoffs against the Spurs in five. But, Portland apparently not getting it, either not interested or didn't make a deal with their interim head coach. And now he is the coach, Splitter is, of the Chicago Bulls succeeding Billy Donovan.
Yeah, it was like, that opening round of the playoffs, I think it was when the reports were kind of spilling out that they were lowballing him and there was...
Yep.
Some people not very happy about that, as I think would make a lot of sense.
Wonder if any Blazers will tweet their feelings out about this?
Never know about that. That's very interesting, and you don't know how ownership changes are going to change the futures of teams, right? But there's a lot of talent, a lot of pieces on that Portland team. Whether it means rolling with the majority of these guys into next season or making a big trade, which they have very much been rumored to do so here.
Let's take a look at the odds to win the National League Cy Young. It's our favorite awards market, and I think most people's favorite awards market. Jacob Mizorowski of the Brewers is now your favorite, which I have always felt he should be. Remember when he was plus 450? That was my recommendation. Minus 140 on the Miz, who is coming off, this kid, a complete game shutout where he gave up one hit against the Phillies. 15 strikeouts, zero walks, facing the minimum. Is that good?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's up there with one of the great performances of all time. Just that one hit. If that hit doesn't happen, it is maybe the greatest of all time. By the way, here's the slash against him is 140, 216, 194. That's a 140 batting average this year against him. 216 OBP, 194 slugging percentage against him. His ERA is 1.34. His K rate is 39.8%. And he just recorded the fastest pitch ever clocked. And he has an insane amount of pitches that are over, right, that are in the over 100 range. What is it, 58 pitches, I think, in his last game were over 100 miles per hour?
Yeah, something like that, yep.
I don't want to say it out loud. Is his arm going to fall off at some point? This kid is amazing. This kid is amazing. And then there's Christopher Sanchez, who put together the third longest scoreless inning streak in the history of Major League Baseball. Only Oral Hershiser and Don Drysdale had longer scoreless inning streaks. Sanchez plus 220 for all of his efforts behind the Miz. Sanchez a 1.54 ERA, so now 0.20 worse, if you will, than Miz's. But Sanchez's advanced stats, he's got a 1.85 fielding independent. His expected ERA is higher, though, 2.78. I was mentioning, again, you know, some of these guys with their unsustainable numbers. Sanchez had, you know, a little bit of regression in terms of the strand rate and the home run to fly ball rate and the BABIP. Actually, the BABIP was the other direction. He was a little unfortunate on the BABIP. Shohei Ohtani, who's 12-1, he's the real guy who we're talking about. His numbers have to regress. Remember, his ERA was 0.74 last time we talked about it. Well, he gave up 3 earned runs in 6 2/3 against the Pirates at Pittsburgh the other day. And so many of his unsustainable stats really manifested, right? They came home to roost a little bit. Now it's a 1.06 ERA. The BABIP went from a sub-200 to 206. Batting average on balls in play, just for those curious. The major league average is right around like 298-ish, something like that. Sometimes some years it goes to 290 at the lowest. But if you are operating in like the 220s, you are having this unbelievably fortunate season. Again, batting average on balls in play, the theory being that once the ball leaves your hand, you have no real control over the outcome at that point. And there's an expected batting average based on things. And in Shohei's case, it was sub-200. Mm-hmm. Like, you would never see that. Now it's, what did I say, 206. By the way, his strand rate dropped to 88.2%. It was over 90. It's like, you can't sustain that, right? 5.3% home run to fly ball rate, that went up a little bit. His expected ERA is 2.62. So again, really good. No one's saying Shohei's bad at baseball. But you're never going to be that good where your BABIP is that low and your strand rate is that high. Skeens, and these are the other names here, and I just want to point these out. These guys seemingly have no chance. Paul Skeens, let me get the updated number on Skeens.
Yeah, is it easy as this, though, Gil? Because I'm looking at a record, which I know matters so little for starting pitchers, but he's 6-6.
It is kind of that easy if you believe the Tom Tango formula. He's 6-6, but he's got a 2.84 ERA, which in this year of competition for this award might as well be 4.0.
Right.
Yamamoto's ERA is 2.52. Wheeler's is 2.22. Burns is 2.14. Sale is 2.30. Harrison, the interesting thing is Kyle Harrison.
Mm.
Kyle Harrison is 40-1 as we complete everything on the left column here. Kyle Harrison is 40-1. Will Hill, our buddy and frequent VSiN host, Will Hill, had a very interesting point about Kyle Harrison. He blew up here in Vegas. He gave up 8 earned runs in 2 1/3 in the band box that is the Aviator Stadium in Summerlin. So his ERA shot up all the way to 2.72. And I'm wondering if Will's comment was, I'll sort of paraphrase, basically if all things were equal at the end, let's say Sanchez and Miz come back down to earth a little bit, let's say Shohei does, let's say everybody else does, let's say Kyle Harrison just soars the rest of the way, and it's an all things being equal thing, will voters look at that Vegas game and throw it out?
Mm.
And I don't know that voters are that sharp, so I don't know the answer to that question.
Right, yeah.
But it's an interesting point. Like, do you get penalized because you had to play one of these games here?
It's also like, I wouldn't personally remove it completely, but it would be a factor. But I mean, like you said, I don't know the voters.
1,000 degrees, for God's sake.
Yeah, I don't know if voters are thinking that much. Okay, so
but right now it's Sanchez and Miz, and those odds currently reflect exactly what it should be. This has gone from a scrum to those two guys really just being unassailably the two best.
Yeah. That's all I was really going to ask you, because I think that, I mean, what was it, all of 10 days ago we were talking about like how amazing this race was? 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks ago? It doesn't even feel like it was a whole 2 weeks ago where we were talking about 5-6 guys. I think Shohei, we can easily use the MVP argument, right? He's going to win MVP.
Yep.
Okay, he's drifted back here. Take him out of this race. Paul Skeens, he's 6-6 on the season.
Sorry, not your year. Yep.
So are you down to, is it just down to these two or...
Yes.
Or would it be, if you're going to look further down and say you have a long...
As I always want to say, this is June 15th. We're not even at the All-Star break. And again, I use those examples. July 31st, base winner came on here. Mark Borger came on here. Hey, Robbie Ray's 100-1. Mm-hmm. You should bet him. There are examples. Chris Sale was going to be a Cy Young, a shoe-in for the Red Sox one year, until he wasn't. So you never want to, by the calendar, this shouldn't be over. But these guys, these two guys are doing insane things. Like, I mean, Sanchez, third longest scoreless streak of all time.
That's incredible.
And you're not even the favorite. And I don't think you should be.
Yeah.
Because Mizorowski, like, this kid is an alien, what he's doing. A 39.8% K rate is, you know, as elite as it gets. But you just had a game against the Phillies. The Phillies, by the way, not, you know, not the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Phillies, 15 Ks, no walks. Every pitch is like 103 or 104. And you face the minimum. One hit in a score. It's just incredible what he's doing.
It's wild.
And the Phillies, like, they're not even, they have no idea what's coming at them.
It's wild.
It's incredible to watch.
It's also like one of the reasons I feel like you and I love tracking these awards markets. I mean, it's just how much has this changed in the past few weeks? It's wild, and I'm with you. It feels like it's kind of down to these two guys.
And I should point out my play on Mason Miller, who I got at 40-1, is all the way down to 75-1 because Mason Miller had the audacity to give up a run the other day.
He's terrible.
Which means that in his 28 outings, 26 of them have been scoreless. But in this day and age, in this year, rather, I should say, with Miz and Sanchez, unless he's 28 for 28, there's no chance he's winning. 26 of 28. I mean, he's only gave up three earned runs all year, Mason Miller. Not good enough in this day, in this kind of competition with these guys.
Ohtani versus the field. Ohtani minus 1,600. Field 9-1.
MVP?
Yeah.
God. Well, you can't bet that.
Either way.
No, you can't. He's a human. He could get hurt. You don't wish it, but you can't bet minus 1,600. Coming back with Adam Burke next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Can I interest you in the early bird special?
For sure.
The early bird special. The early boy. Next week, VSiN releases its NFL betting guide. That is 1 week from today, packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. Lock in your early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And the author, he doesn't take credit for being the author. He's going to say I'm overstating this. But the force behind all of our betting guides. Force, is that too much also?
No, I think it's good.
The juggernaut.
The driving force.
The juggernaut, the driving force behind, that's what I'm looking for, behind these guys is the great Adam Burke, who joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Adam in full betting guide mode. How you doing, man?
I would go with Master Organizer.
Okay.
For the NFL betting guides. I have a lot of help with these things. You know, Matt Devine does a phenomenal job with the design. Zachary Cohen, my senior editor, Michael Dolan, another one of our editors. I get a lot of help with these things because I've got a great team here at VSiN. So I know it sounds daunting when you think about all the team previews, all the features, all the best bets, all of that. But I got a really strong team here, and I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish and what we're going to accomplish next week with that guide on Monday.
NFL Betting Guide 1.0, correct? 1.0. There will be revisions.
Yeah, so, you know, we put this one out. We want to make sure that people can beat as many of the futures prices that they want to that are out there in the market and, you know, kind of get a lay of the land, right? I mean, there's so much going on in the sports world. Even though the NFL is king, it's very easy to lose track of transactions that happened or, you know, there's 10 head coach changes this year in the NFL. So it's a good way to kind of look into these teams a little bit, kind of get your feet wet heading into the season. But then the 2.0 guide, which will be Monday, August 31st, that'll have, you know, more concrete best bets from our hosts and contributors. And also updates on these teams post preseason, you know, because injuries are inevitable in a violent sport like football. So, you know, you definitely want to get some updates as we head into the regular season. But I think this is a great guide, you know, to kind of get things going, especially if you're going on vacation, right? It's a good compliment. Read it on the beach, read it by the pool, read it while you're avoiding your children on vacation, whatever the case may be.
Wow. Avoiding the children.
I think it's a great time of year for us to be doing this too. Cause I noticed while I was shopping around stuff, this is like, I've almost started to hate it. We've brought this up, Gil, of like when we get out of the Super Bowl, every sports book has every market available like right away. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes it tougher to bet this time of year, though. With that being the case, you see where some books have started to adjust on some things and where some are still sticking to kind of their openers. So there's some wildly different numbers right now. I think it's a good time to start shopping around.
Are you as, I don't know if amused is the right word, but are you as tickled sort of by, you know, because one, we have a grid we have to fill out with our division winners, who we think are going to win the division, who's going to win the conference, who's going to win the Super Bowl. But then we're also given, you know, carte blanche to give best bets, whether that's awards, whether that's divisions, whatever, right? Or season win totals, playoffs, whatever. Are you as interested in how different VSiN hosts and guests approach that? In other words, some are these elaborate manifestos, and then others are like, Cowboys, that's it. You know, like it's so interesting to see how quickly or how well thought out or how straightforward some of those are.
Yeah, I think it's always fascinating, you know, especially because, you know, take you and I, for example, right? We're both big time data guys. We love to dig into the advanced statistics and metrics and all of that. And that's kind of our handicapping style and our handicapping process. Whereas other people, maybe it is a little bit more straightforward. Maybe it's just, you know, hey, the schedule doesn't line up well for this team. They've got a stretch of a lot of road games in, you know, a few weeks, something like that. You know, everyone kind of does things in a different way. You know, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we're all trying to get to the same finish line, which is to cash a ticket. But yeah, I think it's really interesting to see the diversity of the mindsets, of the philosophies, just of the, you know, best practices that each one of our hosts and contributors has in terms of getting to that ultimate end goal. So I definitely think it is really interesting. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Drew Dinsick, who I know is a regular guest here on A Numbers Game. I know he's talked about alt win totals forever.
Yes.
And this is an article that I've put in the NFL guide the last couple of seasons. And I just want to mention this. You guys were talking during the break a little bit about some of your NFL thoughts. Over the last two seasons, so 64 team seasons, 25 of the 64 teams have been plus or minus 3.5 wins on their season win totals. So there's definitely some money to be made in that market if you're able to correctly isolate those teams. And that's why, you know, having this guide when we put it out is a good starting point for something like that.
Such a great point. And Drew, yes, Drew deserves all the credit because the betting markets with alt season win totals used to really be mispriced. Now they didn't, you know, they're not giving us as much bang for their buck as we used to get bang for our buck. But yes, I think that's a great point to seize on with alt season win totals. It's still really good. The other thing is, and I always like to say this, and we were talking about this a little off the air, is, you know, just a couple stats, whatever your belief system is in the NFL right now. And I should also point out, just I was trying to indicate that just because you write more words, you're smarter than the person who doesn't, because oftentimes you write more words and then your bet is wrong and the person who just gives you a couple sentences is right. But just to sort of shatter our thinking about the NFL, there were an NFL record 5 playoff teams last year coming off 11-plus lost seasons that made the playoffs. So think about how you felt about the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Bears, the Panthers, and the Niners. They all made the playoffs. 3 teams in NFL history have gone from a 13-plus loss season to a 13-plus win season. 2 of those happened last year, the Jaguars and the Patriots. So, again, whatever we think we know, we probably don't know as much as we think we do. Things happen in this league in a way that they didn't used to, right? In the 80s and 70s and, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s was much more straightforward pre-free agency. And now it's just absolute mayhem from year to year, mostly, not in all cases, but in many cases it is. To baseball, you have a couple plays today for us. What do you have, Adam?
Yeah, I think real quick on that Jaguars and Patriots thing, both of those teams with new head coaches last year.
Yeah.
You know, we got 10 of them, almost a third of the league this season. So things could get kind of wild. Things could get kind of crazy. I think it should be a great NFL season. And getting that guide next Monday, you know, maybe the start of it for you, maybe the start of doing your research. I encourage you to head to VSiN.com/subscribe and get that early bird special, you know, for the football package, because that includes the NFL guide and our college football guide, which will be Monday, August 3rd.
Ooh.
As far as the baseball side of things goes, over 100 runs were scored in the Athletics homestand here at Las Vegas Ballpark. And now they're going back to Sacramento. Oh, you know, boy. They played some very, very long games in this draining Vegas heat. I can tell you, having been in Texas and South Carolina over the last week and a half, I will take the dry heat any day of the week. Humidity is awful, but it's still a lot to be standing out there, to be, you know, trying to go through your process playing here in Las Vegas when it's as hot as it is. And those games are as long as they were. Now they go back home, and I can see a little bit of a letdown here from the A's while they're in Sacramento. I like the Pirates at plus money today with Jared Jones on the bump. Also for JT Ginn, you know, he had that near no hitter a few starts ago, right? Took it into the ninth inning, gave up a single, then the walk-off two-run homer. Since then, hasn't really looked great. 3.60 ERA, but expected ERA over four, FIP over four. He's walking a lot of guys, giving up a lot of hard hit contact. I think that start really took a lot out of him. And of course, you know, a rough outing here in Vegas, as most guys had. But I'm looking to fade JT Ginn right now. And I think Carmen Maginski, who has been moved to the bullpen for the Pirates, could end up following Jared Jones in this one. Ginn's got some platoon issues against lefties. The Pirates' best hitters are all lefties. I think this is a worthwhile look here with the Pirates at plus money in Sacramento.
Sutter Health Park, before they were playing in Vegas, we were firing on all the overs there. So not a tremendous environment change, but anything from here, I guess, is somewhat of an environment change. Then it's the Rays of the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine tonight. What are you playing there?
Yeah, so we'll see how this one goes, right? I mean, you got two pitch to contact guys, and it's not hot in Chavez Ravine yet. Wind blowing out a little bit, so we'll see if it's a good night for the bats or not. But Nick Martinez goes for the Rays tonight. Admittedly, you know, 2.43 ERA, 4.45 expected ERA. When your expected ERA is two runs higher than your ERA, it's very hard for me to like you. But I think with a veteran like Martinez here, I think the way that you kind of neutralize this Dodgers offense, if you can, is to really keep them off balance. And his best pitch is a changeup. It always has been. He's been very good against lefties throughout his career to neutralize that platoon split. And the Dodgers are probably going to throw seven lefties at him tonight. So I think Martinez has the chance to survive. He's also a strike thrower, doesn't walk anybody. Dodgers, of course, a big tenet of their offense is drawing walks, as it always is with so many feared hitters in that lineup. But Eric Lauer, you know, another journeyman here, both journeymen in this game. The Dodgers just, I don't know, they just do this, right? They just find dudes, and all of a sudden they get this Dodger magic. Five runs on 12 hits and 16 and a third for Eric Lauer. He's given up four home runs, but the Rays don't hit home runs. They're dead last in the league in hitting home runs. So even though people are kind of applauding this offense, they don't do it with the long ball. I think it's a game that can stay under tonight. I played under 9.5, minus 120 in this one.
I love it. Okay. Adam, appreciate it as always. Again, the NFL betting guide 1 week from today. All of our homework due on Thursday, correct? That is the homework deadline for those of us who may not have submitted our work yet. And then the college football, it has to wait, right? Because you don't know who's playing for who until August, right? Essentially. That's how it goes. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys.
Adam Burke, everybody, with his Guardians hat, mocking me right to my face. Come back. They got a hydration break. We're going to take one as well in the soccer game. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it is U.S. Open week, and Splash Sports has you covered with a high-stakes U.S. Open challenge. It is live, $500 to enter. For a shot at $100,000 guaranteed. Here's how it works. You pick six golfers, one from each of six tiers. They will provide the tiers. Your top five scores count, and then your worst golfer gets dropped. You get to throw that out. Lowest score wins, so it's all about finding value across the board, not just stacking the favorites. Multiple entries are allowed, so build a few different lineups and increase your shot at that $100,000 prize. Right now, new players using promo code VSIN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry up to $20, and a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Sign up now at splashsports.com and use code VSIN. 21 and over must be present in select states. See site for full rules and details. Looking forward to that. You going to play that as well?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe, he says.
You never know, right? It's tough for us, unfortunately, here in Nevada. But it's a great contest. We talk about it for each one of the golf majors that has rolled around. Obviously, we're taking part in it with the World Cup, and it's been fun. But yeah, great contest. If I was in any other state and it was easy, for sure. One click away.
Well, we did manage to finagle our way into the VSiN Splash Sports World Cup Survivor. contest over there at Splash.
Mm-hmm.
Not at Slash, but at Splash.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so far, so good, Kelly Billy. Our two combined Survivor entries, we do not have a L yet. We have a couple wins with South Korea and USA. Morocco, who we shared on our two entries, with the draw, not the worst outcome against Brazil. So looking good so far. Again, we have to get all four through per entry.
Yeah, I mean, and wins are big. I mean, draw's not bad at all. I mean, especially when you're drawing against Brazil.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And then, yeah, wins are huge because you're pretty much through. I mean, right? What is it? All but
you're
eight third-place teams?
You're a long way to getting through. Yeah, 8 out of 12 third-place teams get through this year.
Yeah. So if you win,
if you win
a match, it's tough for you not to make it.
You got
to
really mess it
up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. South Korea, USA, thanks for getting us off right.
We still have...
Actually, we really couldn't ask for a much better start.
No, we couldn't. We still have Senegal in one entry remaining in their first game of the group stage. Uruguay, Norway, and Croatia still to play their first game in the group stage. But, of course, this is going to be determined by all three games of the group stage. And again, got to get all four of your entries through. This, to me, is the easy part.
Yeah.
Once you get to the knockout round of 32, then it gets a little dicey.
Yeah, and then we switch, and all these teams that advance, we're rooting against right away. Don't go any further, please.
That is correct.
This will be fun. This will be fun because we have – I just actually made a Uruguay bet. I bet them to win to nil today. Win to nil today.
Oh, okay.
Against Saudi Arabia. So we have them today, and then tomorrow – Senegal and Norway both play.
Oh, wait a minute. So we have Senegal in one, and they don't play each other.
No. Yeah. But all three of these teams in action over the next 2 days for us.
Well,
Croatia on Wednesday.
Yeah, we're at G and H, Group G and H today. Tomorrow it's Groups I and J, and then it's Groups K and L. Is that true? That's how it works. That's it.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Croatia with a big match against England on Wednesday.
Oh boy.
If we can win that one, Gil.
We'll settle for the draw.
We will settle for the draw.
Speaking of which, right now in World Cup action, Group H, Spain and Cape Verde. This is 0-0 in the 33rd minute.
Is Spain in trouble, Gil? Is Spain going to lose the World Cup?
Well, no. I don't think they're going to lose the World Cup. But they only have, last I looked, was a few minutes ago, they only had a couple shots and only one on goal against Cape Verde, who has given Spain, at least through 32 and a half minutes, all they could handle. Not able to penetrate the Cape Verde D. So.
Oh, long ball over the top. Watch out, Cape Verde.
That is very weak entry pass there.
Weak shot.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a shot. I think it was a pass, I think.
Why didn't that guy lay out for it, though? Like, it is the World Cup. The goalie made a weak attempt on it.
Why did the guy lay out for it?
You're from Cape Verde. It's the World Cup.
Crash right into the goalkeeper.
Look at this. They actually, they had a chance here.
It's a great ball up field.
Yeah.
But then the pass in front of the net was too far ahead.
What do you call that, Gil? Is that a go route? What do you call that in soccer?
It's a give and go, I believe.
I'm going to bob it 60 yards upfield. A
go route. Spain unbeaten in their last 30 matches. 22 wins, 8 draws. That's what Cape Verde, as a massive underdog, is up against here. Spain with
their best
sort of organization of the match so far here, threatening. But, you know, there's about 55 of these, and then the ball's stolen. All right. And then the whistle. Anyway, scoreless.
No, player's down. I hope he's okay.
That injury is going to take him out for at least 17 seconds as he's writhing in pain on the ground. Here are the World Cup bets that I had again. USA stage of elimination, round of 16, exactly 3-1. Sure didn't look like they were going to eliminate in the round of 16 the other day. Group C exacta, Morocco, Brazil in that order. I think the draw was favorable to that, plus 650. Group F exacta is the Netherlands, Japan, plus 270. We'll see. Those two teams, that was the draw the other day between those two teams as well, right? If I'm not mistaken, Japan and the Netherlands. So my exacta plays had draws already in those
yes.
two.
Yeah.
Group G exacta, Belgium plays Egypt here today. That's plus 140, a 1-2.
Got a chance to do that one, too.
Got a chance to do that one as well. And then Group J, Argentina, Austria, plus 140. Golden Boot, Mikel Oyarzabal. This just in, he does not have a goal yet. He's 11-1 to have the Golden Boot. And the FIFA Young Player Award, Lamine Yamal of Spain at plus 155. Spain now has 5 shots, 1 on goal. Cape Verde has 1 shot.
Is Yamal playing in this match? Because that was the
excellent
one.
Question, if he is playing or not in the end. You have a slew of bets.
Not playing today.
Yeah. They thought he might stay out of the first game.
Yeah.
France to win the World Cup.
He's there, though. Has arrived in whatever cities they're playing.
He landed.
He landed.
You want to go through your World Cup bets?
Sure. France to win quarters and World Cup. And then I have all these teams to win quarters. Portugal, Belgium, Norway. Morocco to win Group C. Belgium to win Group G. Colombia to win Group K. Curacao, lowest scoring team. I don't know if that one goal yesterday was good. Converted penalty kicks over 55. Gil, have you noticed a penalty kick yet? Because I haven't. So I think I got a ways to go.
Wasn't there one penalty kick? I don't know. I thought I saw one.
Did they make it?
Yes.
Nice.
Unless I imagined. I was on the plane, so okay. I'm just trying to glean what would happen.
They're only hauling over 3.5 goals at plus 130. He has not played yet. Tomorrow. Get started.
You want to talk about our football for a second?
Let's do it, man.
Let's talk about an award here. Again, because we were inspired by doing our homework for our NFL betting guide. By the way, yes, the opening match, Switzerland against Qatar, there was a penalty kick.
Oh, in the opening match there was?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then wasn't there one in Germany, Curacao as well? Germany had a penalty kick.
Two in already? Yeah, let's go. Only 53 to go.
I believe so.
Over 53.
Okay, NFL, Coach of the Year. Shall we start any Coach of the Year discussion with Cleve T.A.'s parameters?
Yes, we always should. What a save by the Cape Verde keeper. Wow.
Okay.
Keeps him alive. Sorry.
Here, our buddy Cleve T.A., 20 of the last 21. Are these updated?
These are updated.
20 of the last 21 winners ended the season with 10 or more wins, and all 20 had 9 or more. 14 of the last 15 winners came from teams with 11 or more wins. The average, this is interesting, the average preseason win total of the last 24 winners is 7.7 wins. In other words, coaches of the year do not come from teams that have pre-flop season win totals that are high. And no winner in the last 17 years came into the season with a win total of greater than 9.5. It's never happened in the last 17 years. And 13 of the last 14 winners came into the season on a team that were underdogs to make the playoffs. That is how you get yourself a Coach of the Year award, where expectations are not high. That is essentially what Cleve is putting in numerical terms. So we look at this year's upcoming Coach of the Year award. And again, I mentioned this when we went over this last week, which is you almost have to pause. There's so many new coaches in different places. You must have to pause for a second. John Harbaugh of the Giants, let that sink in for a second, is the short shot at 6-1. Jesse Minter of the Ravens, where Harbaugh vacated, or was let go, 8-1. Robert Saleh of the Titans, 10-1. Kellen Moore, Saints, 12-1. Todd Monken, Browns, 14-1. Joe Brady, Bills, 14-1. Mike McCarthy, Steelers, 16-1. Brian Schottenheimer of the Cowboys, Kevin Stefanski of the Falcons, both 18-1. How is Aaron Glenn only 20-1?
Because the team sucks.
No, but that's what I mean. So how is he only 20-1?
because he sets up for the case. He would check all the boxes if he won.
So the book can't give us more than 20-1 on that?
No, apparently not. This is where it all gets interesting. It's part of the reason why John Harbaugh is the favorite, right? I mean, a new coach, same thing. You go into the situation, though, that with a good season, you could check all those boxes and get home.
So doesn't Jesse Minter then immediately not qualify because of the Ravens' season win total?
The win total part, yes.
Yeah. So
the wins from last year, though, no.
Based on the Cleve, he obviously qualifies. Based on the Cleve TA parameters, he is not likely to win this. Jesse Minter, of all of those names, that's the one, right? Of all these. What about Joe Brady of the Bills? Oh, same story.
There's plenty we could go through there, yeah. I've got a couple that jumped out to me. We can look at them more on the other side.
If Sean McDermott didn't win it, they're not giving it to Joe Brady either. They're just not.
No,
we can talk more about this.
I don't think so.
Talk more about this on the other side. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still scoreless. Pardon me, nil-nil. between Spain and Cape Verde, or España and Cabo Verde, whatever you want to say it.
That's right.
44th minute of action here. Now the 45th minute, heading into the 45th minute. Who saw this coming? Spain was, what, a minus 1,600 favorite or something like that? Mm-hmm. Were they pre-flopping this?
Yeah, you got it. It was anywhere in that range.
Anywhere in that range.
So you get these big favorites. I think I saw minus 1,100 to like minus 2,200, something like that.
Yeah. Minus 1,075, something like that. I thought I saw earlier that they were way higher than minus 1,600.
So I haven't really been tracking it, but I don't know where. Live odds, Spain minus 450.
Yeah, that'll come down.
Cape Verde, 25-1, 4-1, the draw.
Oh, there's a great entry pass. Oh, shot! What a save.
Wait, does Cape Verde have the greatest goalkeeper on the planet?
This guy has made two ridiculous saves. I might be overstating this serve, but it's still a great save, right? Oh, that's
incredible.
Save. That's a great save.
I'm pretty sure,
wow.
Pretty sure the way to put it is the expected goals are high for Spain right now.
Well done. Well done. Cubs, most wins in June for me, 12-1. That ain't happening. That on the heels of the Spurs, 19-1, taking a bath. Yeah. Add it to the list. Great bets. That on the heels of the Spurs versus the Celtics, 125-1, meeting in the finals. Add it to the list of solid bets that didn't get home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, look, you have two World Cup plays today.
Soccer. Uruguay win to nil, plus 108 against Saudi Arabia here later today, and then one tomorrow. I think this is tomorrow. Norway laying a goal and a half, minus 164 versus Iraq. Played that one early on.
That is tomorrow.
And then NBA draft for me, Darren Peterson, first overall pick, plus 350. Cameron Boozer, third overall pick, minus 125.
You making anything of this news that Darren Peterson is only meeting with the Wizards and nobody else?
Well, I like to read into things. I don't know how much it means, Gil, but I guess if you were going to really read into this, this would say that the Jazz have made it known to Darren Peterson that they have no interest in him, which I think makes some sense. We've heard some of those reports before. If he's only going to talk to the Wizards, maybe it's because the Jazz told him, hey, we're going with DeBance or Boozer or whoever's there.
Or is it Darren Peterson just thinking to himself, you know, if I only go meet with the Wizards, that will send a signal to everybody that I believe I only should be the first pick in the draft.
What does that matter, though?
But that's what I mean. I'm trying to get into his head. I don't know what that means, but you know what? I've heard worse explanations of what someone thinks about what that might convey.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's other, like, there is a chance that he fully believes he's going number one and that there's no reason for him to visit anywhere else. I think we think that's a little crazy, but I think there's that chance too.
Wizards are going to mess this up. Just draft a Benson.
Or it's sure, I'll go work out for you, Wizards, because you're number one. Otherwise, I know I'm not falling beyond three. So what does it matter?
Oh, another save. Unfortunately,
I think the most likely answer is that, Gil. Why am I going to work? Why am I going to go meet with more than one team? I'm not falling past three.
I don't know. I just listen. This goalie's amazing.
I know, right? It's incredible.
Oh, that one was going to be. I don't think that one's going to go in. The thing about this, I've thought from moment one, I've been consistent because I was in D.C. when they got the first pick, the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
From the very first moment, I'm like, all the signals are it's DeBanza. And I'm not straying now. I think it's him. But anyway, I thought that was interesting that Peterson, who's not favored to go number one, was like, nope, that's the only team I'm meeting with.
I guess I thought it was more interesting that it, I mean, I do think you're, like we're doing right now, anybody that's trying to read into this information, like you're taking a leap, right?
Yeah.
And betting odds were really not affected much at all.
Dallin Cuff has Spain over 3.5 goals in this match. Well, we are a minute away from the first half ending 0-0. So got a lot of work to do to get that one home. In the Belgium game, which comes on after this, Belgium about to, well, I don't know, what time is it? Noon? Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern? No. Yes. Belgium and Egypt will tangle in Group G. He's got Jeremy Doku of Belgium, goal or assist, plus 155. Goal or assist for Jeremy Doku, plus 155. That from Dallin. Game two today of the quadruple header in the World Cup. And then Wes Reynolds had Georgia in the College World Series today, minus 2.5 runs versus Oklahoma at even money. He thinks Georgia is going to take down Oklahoma and take them down with margin. And again, if Georgia wins that game, they will be the equivalent to what North Carolina is in the first half of the College World Series bracket, which is, for lack of a better term, in the driver's seat of both of those, still needing to lose twice to be ousted, whereas everybody else is on the brink. So big game, Georgia and Oklahoma. Adam Burke, couple baseball plays. Pirates, the Buccos, plus 110 at the Athletics at Sutter Health Park in Sacktown later tonight. And then the Rays Dodgers under 9.5 runs in that ball game tonight at Chavez Ravine. By the way, the tennis play lost the overnight. Maya Joint lost in three sets. She had it on her racket up a break in the second set to win it. She gacks it away. So, again, wasn't playing any grass, now going super light on grass, and it's because of outcomes like that that maybe that's the best to just go very, very gingerly into grass at this point, because that's not a fun outcome, nor was Taylor Fritz yesterday. Greg Peterson was on earlier, gave his Fab Five baseball bets, in addition to some dating talk. Marlins, Phillies, over 7.5 from Greg. Nats over the Royals. Nats are about minus 130. Reds, minus 134 over the Mets. Reds is having an awful month, worst in baseball. Padres, Cardinals, under 8.5 runs. And the Tigers and Astros, he's on the Tigers at plus money, plus 118 between Detroit and Houston later today from Greg Peterson. Back to the Coach of the Year stuff, Kelly Bidlin. Well, first, before we go back to Coach of the Year, can I ask you one last thing about basketball? Mm-hmm. I didn't ask earlier. Do you have any problem with the Spurs fouling down three with when the Mitchell Robinson? Was it Mitchell Robinson who got the offensive board?
He
got the offensive board. It was 93-90. The shot clock went back to 14 seconds. There was like a 9-second discrepancy between the game clock and the play clock, but they fouled. And so it ended up being a 4-point, was it a 4-point play at that, 4-point margin at that point?
Yeah. Yes, 4-point margin. Sorry, yeah. I'm trying to remember all the missed free throws and times that took place.
So in other
place.
Words, you had the option of letting it play out, hoping for a stop and being down three, or fouling right there and sort of extending things, I guess.
I guess I didn't have a problem with it then. I think you could more rightfully question the foul that led them to the free throw line, right? You had the foul when it was like 29 on the clock.
Yeah.
Right, Knicks had the ball. They chose to foul to put him there. I think once you've done that, yeah, I'm probably keeping it consistent.
And also, the reason I'm bringing it up is because I also want to say, and the Knicks were going to foul if you were down three anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, yep. Because we've seen that from them,
yeah,
too.
Didn't fundamentally change. I saw some people bring that up. Anyway, back to Coach of the Year, and I was just saying, okay, so based on the Cleve TA parameters that we were just talking about last segment, Jesse Minter of the Ravens, right, you know, Joe Brady of the Bills. So we're talking Baltimore has a, you know, season win total of, what, 11.5? The Bills are 10.5. Juice either way. So you're out already based on those parameters. But, you know, that could apply to some others on this list and not on this list as well. So keep those in mind. Do you have a play that you'd like to make or names you're looking at?
I don't, but I think there's interesting ones down the board. I think Minter will be interesting to see how he's handled. I think with the major switch over from Harbaugh, the bad record this year, I do think he's alive. Especially if we start talking about this Baltimore defense becoming, you know, a top unit again, and he brings that back. I think he's alive. I do think Harbaugh's alive. I think this all lines up for them. If the Giants can make a run in a weak NFC East, yeah, I think he's live. You'd have to believe in Robert Saul and this Titans team more than me. I have no interest in that in 10-1.
Ben Johnson gets eliminated based on the season win total of 10.5 for the Lions.
I think he's an interesting one because he was so close last year. Is there any carryover love for Ben Johnson if him and Caleb go put on another show this year?
Just mentioning based on the Cleve TA numbers, right, which are pretty solid. Like, there's very rare, it was very college basketball formula-ish. There was very little exception to it. So those are all the, I mean, again, you can't be higher than 9.5. And the names that we mentioned, Jesse Minter, Joe Brady, Ben Johnson, Jim Harbaugh,
yeah,
all eliminated right off the top.
Other ones I wrote down that I thought, okay, if you're a believer, this is just, you got to be a bigger believer than I am. Falcons. I think Stefanski's live again. If you're a believer in them in the South.
Would that be three for him?
Yeah, I think so. Schottenheimer, if you're a believer in the Cowboys, totally. I think that it could make a lot of sense. Zach Taylor, how do they handle that situation with Cincinnati?
Bengals, by the way, 9.5, so they would they barely make it. Yeah.
And then last one I wrote down, Gil, where I think if you are a believer in this team, I think it makes a lot of sense. Your boy Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn. Some of us believe. Some of us do.
I think he checks all those boxes, right?
Yeah, 7.5 on the Skins, right? 7.5.
Get get Jaden Daniels back playing well. This team can make a playoff run, 28-1. Sure.
Sure. Why not? Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.